Are you a Hawkeye fan living in Story County? Do you feel isolated, like you're alone in a maze of red? Well, you're not the only one. And that's why we here at StoryCounty.news have launched a brand new section of our website, From the Hawkeye of the Storm, which will feature our weekly podcast, Brada's Branded Thoughts, as well as other Hawkeye-related content for all you Story County residents who bleed black and gold, or if you live in Western Iowa, Eastern Iowa, or somewhere else other than Ames and you're a Hawkeye fan. We'd love your support. All of our content is free. So again, give our Facebook page a follow, give it a like, and give our Twitter page a follow as well. @FromTheHawkeye on Twitter. The more likes, the more follows, the more support we get, the more content we can continue to push out. And it's all free. It's From the Hawkeye of the Storm, hosted by StoryCounty.news for the best Hawkeye content in the area. Week 141 of Brada's Branded Thoughts. Iowa coming off a 70-55 victory over the Purdue Boilermakers. Iowa held them to 55 points, an impressive showing after giving up 99 to number one Gonzaga over the weekend. And I think the last time we recorded a show was last week about this time. We're recording this on Thursday in anticipation of Iowa's Friday evening game versus Minnesota. And I think most of us had decently high hopes for the Gonzaga game, but I mean, look, I've said it on the podcast, you can go back and listen, and I know I'm not some genius for saying this, but you know, I felt that some fans and even members of the media ignored the fact that Iowa has not proven, or up until Tuesday night, had not proven a thing defensively. Now, have they gotten better over the past 2 or 3 years? Absolutely. But when we look at Iowa versus elite opponents, Iowa really hasn't proven they can defend. And on Saturday, they proved they could not defend versus an elite squad like Gonzaga, who I think Gonzaga is probably the best team in the country right now. I know a lot of people are kind of anointing them as such. I still don't think you can do that, being that they haven't played Baylor yet. Baylor looked really good earlier on in the year, and they've been dealing with some COVID issues there. But the big thing right now is one game at a time, improvement. You mean, listen, the off season's over, and I know it was a broken up off season, but this is a team, another Iowa team that has aspirations of winning a national title, getting to a Final Four, getting to the championship, and winning a championship. If you're going to do that, you've got to defend better than they defended on Saturday. I think you've got to defend better than they did against North Carolina on the previous, or two Tuesdays prior. They won that game, but they gave up, what they gave up to North Carolina? Wasn't it like 85 points or something? I mean, they've got to defend better. They don't have to be elite. I know we went over this over and over and over again. They do not have to be elite. But when you're giving up points literally every possession, like Iowa was against Gonzaga on Saturday, and then finally when Gonzaga would miss shots, Iowa couldn't get defensive boards, I mean, you literally have no chance of winning games. Okay, you have no chance of winning games. As soon as Iowa went through a little drought, what do you know? Gonzaga pulled up by double digits. Now, I think what people forget about the game on Saturday is it was close through the first 10.5 minutes of the game. I mean, with under 10 minutes to go in the first half, it was 25-24 Zags. And Iowa got cold, and Gonzaga heated up. Iowa's got to be better in transition. They need more out of Jordan Bohannon. We know he's not a defender, but if he's going to be in the game, he's got to make shots. We did see him hit three-pointers against Purdue on Tuesday, which was a welcome sight, but he's still not shooting Jordan Bohannon-esque. So he's got to figure that out. You know, they've just got to figure out a way to get more rebounds, which, of course, Fran's been talking about ad nauseum. And I like I've been saying this for a long time, too. I like the commitment, at least from a verbal standpoint, that we're hearing from Joe Wieskamp, Luka Garza, C.J. Frederick, all these guys on defense. Now, what I saw in that Zaga game was the will and determination of Joe Toussaint. And look, I know we all live in the moment. We did the same thing when Spencer Petras was struggling at quarterback for Iowa football this year. And granted, look, yeah, Spencer ended up having a couple of nice games overall against Illinois and Wisconsin, although they were more second-half performances for Spencer. And I hope we get to see him in the Music City Bowl, which we'll talk about shortly. But we live in the moment. We wanted him out. At least I did. Now, I didn't want him out after two games. That's the caveat here. When people say you're quick trigger, when you call for Spencer to be benched after six games, that's not quick trigger. I mean, it's an eight-game season, and if he's still not making improvements, I still stand by what I said. After that sixth game, I said, I think it's time to give someone else a shot. And I give Spencer Petras credit. Kirk Ferentz did not do that against Illinois when he was struggling. He kept Spencer in it, and Spencer started to play like the quarterback that we thought he could be. Now, we'll see if that carries over to the game against Missouri, and of course, next year as well. I still hope there's going to be an open competition at quarterback. But listen, I'm not calling for Jordan Bohannon to be benched. I'm not calling for him to be, well, I'm calling for him to be benched. Yes, I am calling. If he's not making shots, the guy's a liability. And I know everybody wants to argue that because he's a great passer. He is a great passer. The problem is he's turning the ball over. He turned the ball over like four times against Gonzaga. He's not making threes. I love Jordan Bohannon from the standpoint of he's one of the all-time greats here. He may be the best three-point shooter in Iowa history, but right now he's not shooting well. And how many games do you want to give the guy to start shooting well? I mean, I'm not saying you just bench him for 40 minutes, but he's going to have to ride the bench a little bit more during these struggles. You don't just play him 35, 36 minutes a game when you got guys like Joe Toussaint, who, yeah, I know he's not a great three-point shooter, but the dude is a baller. The dude is a baller. I mean, you watch that game against Gonzaga, he was getting to the basket at any point he wanted, okay? And he finishes around the basket. That's what's amazing. He finishes at the hoop. He is the future of Iowa basketball, whether you want to admit that or not. Now, he needs to get a better shot. He still turns the ball over more than you'd like. But look, he's making some incredible plays. He's playing defense. I mean, Joe Toussaint is the best defender on this squad, and it's really not that close. I got into a debate with a fan earlier this week about that on Twitter. And I usually don't interact with people on Twitter. You know, we've just got Twitter here at From the Hawkeye of the Storm for our podcast, so we can get the word out on our podcast. We're still trying to grow, although it's been a really slow couple of months just as far as trying to give the website and the social media pages their due attention, but we'll keep working on that. But I got into a debate with this guy on Twitter, and the debate was about Joe Toussaint. Why is everyone in love with Joe Toussaint? Well, the reason is because he plays defense when most guys over the past 3 to 4 years that are still on this team haven't played defense. You want to know someone else who plays defense on this team? Keegan Murray. You want to know someone else who plays defense on this team? C.J. Frederick. Those three guys are your best defenders. I think Jack Nungy's been playing good defense. From what I've seen, the best defensive lineup right now for Iowa is Keegan Murray, Joe Toussaint, Jack Nungy, C.J. Frederick, and in the fifth, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe you throw in a Joe Wieskamp there. I don't think it's Connor McCaffrey. I know people say, well, he's a great defender. I don't see that. And I'm not trying to dog on Connor. I've supported Connor. I've talked him up a lot. Even last week I talked him up on the show because he's a great leader. He's a great ball handler. He doesn't turn the ball over. But I'm just saying the best defensive lineup are probably those four, five guys. Now, granted, there's not nearly as much offense there. What's great about C.J. Frederick, and I think that goes back to why everybody keeps talking about C.J. Frederick has the best plus-minus on this entire team. I mean, it's not hard to figure out why. The dude can shoot, and the dude defends. That's why. So, you know, and he's not a turnover guy. He's not a mistake guy. So, you know, I'm not saying you bench Bohannon. I'm not saying you start Toussaint. But I think you have to start having the conversation. I really do. Joe Toussaint knows what the Big Ten's made of. He started much of last year. Maybe Jordan Bohannon would shoot better coming off the bench. I think we need to stop being afraid of the idea. That's what I think people need to realize. Yes, I've been the guy who said, yes, he's maybe the greatest three-point shooter in Iowa history, one of the greatest in Big Ten history. The problem becomes if he's not playing like that and it goes over a certain stretch of time, how long do you continue to suffer as a team and as a group to wait for this guy to come out of his slump? You know, Joe Toussaint got 11 minutes on Tuesday. To me, that's not enough. And maybe Fran's trying to give Jordan an extended run to get him out of his slump, and they could afford to do it against Purdue. Listen, I mean, Gonzaga's got the best point guard in the country, probably the number one pick in the draft next year in Jalen Suggs. I mean, he's just tremendous. But he exposed Jordan Bohannon in every way imaginable. Defensively, offensively, he forced him into turnovers, bad plays, bad mistakes. So we just need to see more of Toussaint. C.J. Frederick got in foul trouble in the first half against Gonzaga. That, of course, did not help at all. But Iowa fought in that game. And look, they got it back within 9, had a three-pointer from Joe Wieskamp that had, if it had gone down, it was an open three. If it had gone down, it would have been a six-point game, which is 3 minutes to go. So they were in that game. They lost it 99-88. They didn't play defense really at all. And what's encouraging now is, because you could look back at that game against Gonzaga and say, look, yeah, I mean, they only lost by 11, but if they can't play, because this is where I've been, if they don't play defense, and they didn't on Saturday, they are just not going to, they're not going to go to a Final Four or win a championship. There's just no way. They probably aren't going to make it out of the Sweet 16, and the reason I say that is because at some point, your shots are going to stall out. And that happened on Saturday. Iowa went like 4 for 23. They shot 18% from 3. Now, you could also argue they're probably not going to go 4 for 23 very often, but the one time you do, what are you falling back on? You're not falling back on your defense. I mean, Luka Garza went for 30 and 10 against Gonzaga. Didn't matter. So the bottom line here is Iowa has to have some sort of a defense. I mean, they just have to. And we talked about it all of last year. We talked about it throughout the offseason. I know the players talked about it. I have to think they've been committed to it. And I guess the hope is, yeah, it was the number one team in the country. They just didn't play well. I mean, that's... Again, that's as PG as you can put it, because it was bad. It was bad defensively and on the boards. The encouraging thing about that is they come back on Tuesday, play a Purdue team that's, you know, they're not the best offense in the Big Ten, but they're quality. They've got shooters in Stefanovic. They've got a couple big guys in Trevion Williams and that new Zach Edey kid, who's like 7'10". He's not quite that big, like 7'4". But I mean, they held them to 55 points, and it was not like just one half where Purdue went cold. Iowa held them to, I think, 27 in the first half, and they held them to, what, 26 in the second half. I mean, that's pretty balanced throughout the game. Now, Purdue missed shots. I mean, Iowa wasn't perfect. I know I saw a tweet from, I believe it was Chad Lystico after the game on Tuesday, that Iowa had slipped down to number 82 after their performance against Gonzaga. Slipped down to number 82 in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. And after that game against Purdue, they shot up to 62. That's how good their defense was Tuesday. Now, we did see last year games where Iowa's defense was okay. I thought the game against Minnesota, a game that I was at up in Minneapolis, awesome game, by the way. I think they played better defense. Look, they've improved every year. I'm not trying to infer they haven't, but they've got to be more consistent. You got to be game to game. You cannot have games where you just don't play defense. And if you're not playing very good defense, you better be rebounding well. You can't have both, because at some point you're going to compare that with bad three-point shooting. That's what happened Saturday. Now, the encouraging thing, again, is Iowa only lost by 11 despite shooting 18% from three, not rebounding at all, and not playing defense at all. And C.J. Frederick was in foul trouble in the first half. So, and Jalen Suggs had a career day from three. So my point is, there's encouraging things to take away. The game on Tuesday against Purdue, I saw a lot of good things. They did make 12 threes. You know, I heard that afterwards that they had made 12 threes, and I was thinking, you know, it didn't even feel that way. It didn't even feel like they made that many threes. But they did, so I guess that's a good thing, that you can make 12 threes and it not even seem like that much. Of course, they made 17 against North Carolina a couple weeks back. But I'm encouraged right now. We have to see what they're going to do moving forward. They've got a tough... Listen, I say a tough stretch. It's going to be a tough stretch for the next 19 games. Or I should say the final 19 games of the regular season. You've got a... There's not an easy opponent on the schedule. Northwestern's 2-0 with wins over Michigan State and Indiana. Northwestern is 2-0 with wins over Michigan State and Indiana. You've got Penn State, who, I get it, they're, I think, 0-2. But heck, they beat Seton Hall. Didn't they beat Seton Hall, or they went to overtime? They competed hard with Seton Hall. I think they beat a couple other good teams. Penn State's not bad. They're down their head coach. Pat Chambers resigned before the season started. I think Indiana's going to be there. I know they lost last night, but I think they're going to be there with Trace Jackson Davis, Archie Miller at the helm there. Michigan State's always going to be there. Wisconsin looks really good. 2-0 in the Big Ten now, including an impressive second half against Nebraska the other night. And, boy, they beat Louisville by like 40 on Saturday. So, you know, there is just not going to be an easy out in this conference. It's going to be so difficult to win. And that's why I'm particularly impressed. They won by 15 against Purdue. It really wasn't that close. Purdue made a couple pushes in that game, but it just never felt in jeopardy. And that's what you want to see out of a top five team. So Iowa's 1-0 in the Big Ten. Purdue falls to 1-1. By the way, Purdue had beaten Ohio State like a week ago. Look what Ohio State just did against Rutgers the other night. I know there was some questionable reffing in that game. Rutgers looks really good, by the way. They beat Illinois about a week ago. But Ohio State went and beat Rutgers. You know, and I know you can't use the transitive theory or property with sports, especially college sports, but you got to admit, Purdue beat a good Ohio State team a week ago. So this is a good Purdue team. They also beat Notre Dame. You know, they're winning games. So it's a good win for Iowa. Every win in the Big Ten is going to be a good win this year, especially. They will get Minnesota tomorrow night on Big Ten Network, I believe, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Minnesota, of course, we had Matt Gaetens on several months ago, or at least a couple months ago, and he talked about the departure of Liam Robbins from Drake. Of course, Matt's an assistant coach at Drake now, and Liam Robbins was what a factor he was last year for the Bulldogs, who, by the way, are undefeated, one of the final undefeated teams in Division I. What a story Matt Gaetens and the Bulldogs have had down there in Des Moines. But Liam Robbins playing well right now for Minnesota. He's shown some more range. He can pull up from deep for a guy who's like, 7-1 or whatever he is. That's impressive. You know, Luka Garza is going to have his hands full. I mean, he had to go up against a 7-4 guy on Tuesday, and Trevion Williams, who's probably one of the better defending big men in the Big Ten. He's going to go up against another big one on Friday. And Garza just doesn't stop. I mean, he just doesn't no matter what the opponent does. And we said it last year. We saw this exact thing last year. He just doesn't quit. He puts up big numbers against whoever he wants to put him up against. A lot of people were saying that, you know, he may take a step back in scoring this year. So far, he has not. And so, you know, we'll see if that continues. But he's now, I think, third all-time in scoring in Iowa history, passing A.C. Earle. And let's see, who is fifth? I lost that. But he's up to third now, all-time in scoring in Iowa basketball history. So he's going to continue to be a force. Guys are going to be open. Now, Gonzaga did a good job. They decided to kind of take the Michigan route from last year and just focus all their attention on the shooters, and Iowa missed a lot of shots. Now, Iowa did miss open shots, too. And again, if your defense is a little bit better, you can get a few more rebounds. It's not going to really matter. You're still going to be right there. So Gonzaga had to have several things go. Now, I give Gonzaga lots of credit. They looked stacked. They are stacked. They look great, even coming off the COVID break. They are the number one team right now, although Baylor, again, is right there. All right, let's talk a little bit about this Minnesota game on Friday. What does Iowa need to do? I remember last year when Iowa took the court against Minnesota, it was a low-scoring affair. I mean, Iowa was down 8, I think, with maybe 6 minutes to go, and Iowa went on like a 12-0 run to end the half. It's going to be different without fans at the Barn. I mean, the Barn's one of the tougher places to play, in my opinion. Of course, I've only been up there one time. But it's just a historically significant arena in college basketball. You've got the elevated floor, but it's just going to be so different going on the road without fans this year. I mean, it's already different at Carver, but some of these road venues that are so hard to play at, I just don't know. I mean, we're going to see a lot more, I think, road wins, although so far we've seen a lot of home wins for Big Ten teams. I don't know if that will continue, but again, I mean, there's no fans, so that's going to be a factor, no question. I think the big thing is, can Iowa continue to play? Can they continue to rebound the way they were against Purdue? And can they continue to play good transition defense? I thought that their transition defense was very good on Tuesday. They had some half-court breakdowns, as they're going to, but if they can run back, get back in transition, they are going to be just fine. So, again, if you can get back in transition and rebound well, especially with a front court in Minnesota that is fairly formidable. Let me pull up the Minnesota roster. I'm not real familiar. Of course, Daniel Oturu is gone for Minnesota. Liam Robbins has kind of been his replacement. Let me pull up the Minnesota roster here. Size is definitely going to be a factor because we saw, and of course, just pure talent is always a factor, but we saw North Carolina, and those are four athletic bigs that they've got there, but got 6'10", four guys 6'10 or bigger held Garza under 20, and that's what's going to take. But then, of course, his outside guys got hot in that game. Let's find the roster here. Go for roster. So Liam Robbins, let's check his height here. I believe he's 7 foot. Yeah, he's 7 foot on the dot. Junior from Davenport, Iowa. I mean, they've got Martise Mitchell, who's a freshman. Not sure if he's really playing that much. Both Gock, he's a 6'6 guard. Mursa's a guy that's in their rotation, but he's only 6'6. Of course, Gabe Kalscher is going to be there. Brandon Johnson, not sure if he plays much. Eric Curry will play. He's 6'9". Sam Freeman, 6'10". Isaiah Enan is 6'9". I mean, Minnesota always has got some decent size. I don't know that they have the shooters that they typically do. Of course, Marcus Carr, their star point guard, he's been playing great basketball, had declared for the draft and then removed his name from consideration last year. So he returns, and just the pairing of him and Robbins, I think, is going to be probably what Iowa has to watch. But, you know, look, Gabe Kalscher, we've seen him burn teams before from three if he can get hot. He's kind of a streaky shooter, but if he can get hot, they can be deadly from three. I mean, we've seen Minnesota put up, I think, like 100 points a couple years ago against Iowa in the barn. But last year, again, Iowa held them down. So it will be interesting. Minnesota's averaging, I believe, 75 points a game. Not totally sure on that. Let me find this here. Find these stats. Should have had these ready to go. See statistics. I think I looked this up, and Minnesota was averaging... Yeah, that's not going to get me what I want. Well, let's see here. Let's see what we got. Let's see. Of course, they got a nice win against St. Louis on Sunday. Good St. Louis team put up 90 on the Billikens. They'd lose at Illinois. Let's see, where are our point totals? So they are averaging 82.5 a game. So I mean, that's healthy. I mean, Purdue I think was averaging 72.5, something like that. So if Iowa can hold them under 80, I'm going to be happy. I mean, if they can hold them under 80, now maybe they should hold them under 70. I don't know. I don't think the bar needs to be that high. But I mean, they held Purdue to 6-55 in Carver. Iowa showed good hustle. I like what I saw. And again, they only got 11 minutes out of Joe Toussaint, so that's a positive thing. If they can, your best defender only plays 11 minutes, and you can still hold Purdue to 55, so that's positive. I just think transition and rebounding, it's going to be a key moving forward because you never know when you're going to have an off night. You just got to keep fighting, and they proved last night that, or on Tuesday night, that hey. You know, they didn't have the best night offensively, although they did make 12 threes, but they can win a 70-55 grinder, and that's what they did on Tuesday. So, Kirk Ferentz has COVID. I think you probably have heard that by now. Have heard nothing to think that he's had any severe symptoms. I know people have talked about him coughing at press conferences earlier in the week, but I don't know. I mean, he's talked about how he's had kind of a cough late in seasons. I don't know if it's just a result of being outside a lot or what the deal is, but it sounds like he's going to be just fine. He's a healthy 65-year-old guy. But there are, I think, six coaches that have COVID. So, you know, people have talked about this game getting shut down against Missouri. We haven't talked about the bowl matchups on here, and I'm not going to go through all the bowl games and make my picks, although I guess I could. Iowa deserves a better bowl game. I mean, there's just no way around that. To match them up against a 5-5 Missouri team that, I mean, this is not what Iowa deserves. And this is a Missouri team that, I think their last win, they gave up like 40-some points. Iowa's going to, I hate to say this, and I could be wrong. I think Iowa's going to roll Missouri if they play this game. They are going to roll them. Unless Spencer Petras just throws three or four picks, they are going to roll this team. Missouri's missing a couple of their best players that have declared early for the draft. We did get news today, and this is disappointing. I think we probably all expected this at some point. Amir Smith-Marset has declared for the draft. So we will not see Amir Smith-Marset suit up for Iowa ever again. And that is that's hard. That is hard. I mean, you know, there's certain players I think that stand out as different, special. C.J. Beathard was one of those guys. You know, I think Darrell Johnson-Koulianos at the time, before he had his falling out, certainly was one of those guys. Marvin McNutt was one of those guys. Tyler Sash was one of those guys. You know, I think the trio of linebackers that was here in, what, 2013, Hitchens, Kirksey, and Morris, those guys. I mean, there's always a player or two on each roster, at least a couple players, that you look at and think, man, I'm going to miss this guy. And listen, Amir Smith-Marset, I get it. He had an OWI this year. He did the end zone flip in the game against Wisconsin. I love that kid. I mean, he's just going to – he seems like a great kid. He's got all – his personality seems to be just full of spunk, and he's very team-oriented. I know he made a couple bad decisions. I get it. But he did a lot of good things for Iowa away from the ball this year, blocking downfield. He just seems like a really mature kid, and I wish him all the best in the NFL. I really do. I will be rooting hardcore for him to make a team, make a roster. I don't know what his draft stock is. I think he's got speed. He's got athleticism. He's got good hands. I just don't know what his draft stock is. So best of wishes to him. We have not heard about Brandon Smith. Is there a chance he returns? I don't know. I really don't know. I thought before the season started, with this being a free year from the NCAA, that a lot of teams would return, a lot of players would return next year. I mean, Iowa doesn't have a big class in 2022 coming in. And there's no scholarship limits, I don't believe, for next year. I could be wrong on that. But I don't really know why you wouldn't return a lot more guys. But Kirk Ferentz is Kirk Ferentz, and we're not going to know who decided they want to leave and who Kirk said, we don't have a spot available for you. I don't know why Kirk would do that with someone like Brandon Smith. I'm not inferring that he would or implying that he would. I just don't know that we'll get him back. We already heard Keith Duncan is gone. Nick Neiman, he said he's gone. So, you know, Amir Smith-Marset is gone. So it's just, I don't know. We haven't heard from Tyler Linderbaum or Davion Nixon, but I seriously doubt they're returning. I seriously doubt it, especially Davion. I'd love to see Tyler back another year, but again, I don't blame the kid for leaving. I hope we get Chauncey Golston back. I think that's unlikely, but technically he could come back and he could really man a really good defensive line. Davion leaves, which we all expect he's going to leave. It's going to leave a void up front, but they've got guys. I have total faith in Phil Parker. He's just got a revolving door at defensive line. Yaya Black is probably the next guy, at least from what we've seen, a little bit of time for young guys. Yaya Black seems to be the next guy there. Of course, they've got Jack Heflin. Don't know if he'll be able to return or if he will return next year. Noah Shannon, you know, could he step up and be an every down type guy? And then, you know, you're going to get Joe Evans back. You'll get John Wagoner back. You'll get, I think, Zach Van Valkenburg has another year, I think. So they've got guys. I would love to see Chauncey return, but I don't expect that. But back to this game against Missouri. Missouri, a team that Iowa faced in 2010 in the Insight Bowl, where Micah Hyde had I think it was Blake Bortles that was throwing that. No, it was Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert threw that. Bortles was Central Florida or South Florida, whatever that school is down there. Blaine Gabbert threw the interception to Micah Hyde, and he took it all the way back, reverse field, took it all the way back to the house. And Iowa squeaked by in a close one. That was a good Missouri team, by the way. You know, I don't know if Iowa could get complacent about this game. I mean, look, they're without their head coach until, I think, what, the 27th? I think he can come back this weekend as long as he's negative, tests negative. we heard a report that there were 14 positives in the athletic department last week, and then we heard more positives this week. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean football. I think it probably means there weren't any positives with basketball because we've seen basically all the guys there, I think. I mean, I don't know. There are a lot of sports and staff and faculty in these athletic departments, but we don't know how many of those guys were from the football team. So, you know, people were talking about how they need to shut it down. I'm not there. I mean, let it just play out. Let these kids get a chance. I think it's disgusting when you've got a reporter who I won't mention his name on here, but you got a beat writer who goes on the radio and writes a column the day of the report that Iowa was pausing activities for 5 days, the day of telling Gary Barta, you need to shut this down. That's a disgrace. You're not even, you have no, you act like you're in touch with what's going on in that athletic department. You are not, listen, this guy's not in any more touch with the athletic department than anybody else who's covering the beat. And really, things are so open now. I mean, what does this guy have on anybody who follows Iowa football and pays attention to what the university releases? He's got no more information than any of us do. So we don't need to read it. Nobody needs to read into what this guy has to say on his website or on social media about shutting it down. It's called clickbait, and I think it's disgusting for a bunch of kids that deserve a chance to play. There's a lot of kids on this roster who have done the right thing this year, and you have no idea if there are any positives on the team and how many. So I'd say can it, okay? I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been writing on the beat. Just can it. Give these kids a chance to play. They deserve it. It would just be a disaster for Keith Duncan and all these guys that aren't coming back to have had their final game, you know, be against Wisconsin, which granted was a good game. They won the game, but I just can't imagine not being able to play your last two games for Iowa. So just let it play out. I don't know why we need to get all up in arms about COVID when you really have no clue. You have no clue. The university has not released the number of players who are positive or who have been positive, and they're not going to. So just can it and let it play out. That's all I have to say. Iowa should roll Missouri. Missouri, you know, we'll preview that game. I think next week. I think it's, the 30th. So we'll preview that game early next week, and hopefully we'll get to play it. And I could say hopefully. I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging there's always a chance a game gets canceled. But I'm not going to, you know, what a ridiculous notion to make an appeal to Gary Barta. Just move on, dude. Just move on. All right. We've talked Iowa hoops. We've talked Iowa football, Iowa women. Got a win on Tuesday against Western Illinois. They had a couple games off because of COVID issues. I don't believe it was with the Iowa women, but with their opponents. So, they're playing well right now. Caitlin Clark with a triple-double. She's just spectacular. As a freshman, she's going to go down as one of the all-time greats in Iowa history. As long as she stays healthy, I think there's no question about that. And again, Iowa plays tomorrow night on Christmas evening against Minnesota, 7 p.m. on the Big Ten Network from the Barn up in Minneapolis. All right, that will do it for week 141 of Brada's Branded Thoughts. We will be back talking Iowa, Minnesota, and hopefully talking about a win. And remember, Iowa plays Northwestern. The team was 2-0 in the Big Ten and atop the standings as of right now. They play them next Tuesday evening. So we'll probably get a show in before Tuesday, but if we don't, that's Tuesday evening, Iowa against the Wildcats of Northwestern. We'll talk to you soon. Go Hawks against Minnesota. Get a win up at the Barn. And again, get well, Kirk Ferentz, and we'll see you back on the field soon. Take care, everybody. Go Hawks.